Welcome to the PrivCap Podcast. On today's episode, experts from Washington State Investment Board, EY, and Gen 2 Fund Services discuss why SEC inquiries and increasing investor demands are redefining what it means to be a sufficiently institutional private equity firm. And now, PrivCap's David Snow.
Today we're joined by Stephen Milner of Gen 2 Fund Services, Scott Zimmerman of EY, and Ian Cameron of the Washington State Investment Board. Gentlemen, welcome to PrivCap today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.
So we're talking about a very important topic in private equity now, which is the push for transparency. There are a number of factors driving that, and the world has really changed for private equity firms as a result. Why don't we start first with a question for Ian. Ian, you're the COO of a very large state pension fund. Talk about the importance that you as an investor place on the infrastructure of a private equity firm that may have changed or evolved over time.
Yeah, this is absolutely an important area for us now. We're really building up our operational due diligence program. We're really looking for, when we first get in there, when we're going in on a pre-investment basis, we're looking for firms that, you know, have the fundamentals right. You know, we don't want to see, you know, errors. We want timely delivery of data. We're looking at their technology, looking at all those things to make sure they're going to be able to comply with our requirements. You know, one of the biggest risks that we have is our reputation. And so we want to make sure that each GP understands that and embraces that, because if they end up in the headlines, it's just as well as we were in the headlines too.
Scott, your firm, EY, recently did a major market survey of private equity market participants. And you learned a number of things about the importance now of transparency and the integrity of the infrastructure of the private equity firm. What did you learn from that effort?
Yes, David, we've actually done the survey now for 3 years. And last year, the primary focus was exactly what Ian was talking about. It was on transparency, was on operational excellence. It's not just about returns anymore. It's not just about alpha. Exactly what Ian said, reputational risk is a big deal. Reputational risk can certainly affect returns. And we saw it kind of as a litmus test or an indicator of how well run is a firm, you know, how well controlled are they. Almost like if you think about a public entity with a 10K, I mean, if you file your 10K a week late, the market says what's wrong.
Steve, your firm helps private equity firms with the management of their business. You know, how does this push for transparency and the, you know, intense focus on infrastructure affect the day-to-day operations of your business?
It's clearly had a very significant effect. When we look back at some records, over the last 12 months, we've had about 20 operational due diligence meetings. So these are consultants to limited partners who want to make sure that the entity that they're investing in has proper controls.
So actually having consultants come look at your firm is a relatively new development.
It's almost a brand new phenomena. I would tell you that 3 years ago, not many people showed up at all, but now we seem to be much more frequent.
Ian, another question for you. So many private equity firms now need to register with the SEC. How have the requirements that come with that registration sort of changed your relationship with managers, and is that a net positive or negative thing?
So what the SEC has done, you know, they have a lot of clout. They can get in there and look at these things for us. So it's a huge advantage for us, and they do a great job. I met with some folks from the SEC about a month ago, and we talked about, you know, their program that started in 2012, these presence exams, and it was really focused in three areas. Was, you know, fees and expenses, it was valuation and compliance, and looking at those three elements within these private equity firms. And, you know, they uncovered a lot of things. Even in one of the firms we invested in, they found an issue with how expenses were being allocated between a co-investment vehicle versus the main fund, which resulted actually in a refund back to us, how expenses had been misallocated. So clearly a benefit there. And as well as uncovering some other issues that we can talk about in the due diligence process for ourselves.
It's not as if the managers don't want to be transparent. And I think the regulators, when they kind of got engaged 4 or 5 years ago, the way we think about it is, you know, they're an awareness campaign. Private equity is a little bit different than the other asset classes in that it has these unusual fees and some unusual expenses, so it seems like the right place to start. And then, you know, they've moved on to cybersecurity, and valuation has always been a hot topic. So I think the transparency kind of gets driven at the end of the day by the awareness campaigns of the regulators.
And there's a real growth curve here in terms of transparency reporting. The GPs, our clients, are much more rigorous and aware of LP needs and concerns, both from a regulatory perspective and also, you know, as Ian talked about, that pendulum. The LPs want this information, and they get to deploy money basically with managers that they feel are going to give them not only good performance on the investment side, but also that they that the GPs can exercise their fiduciary responsibility. Private equity is a very different asset class than, say, a 40 Act fund. 40 Act fund, you don't see these type of fees and expense structure. It's a much simpler asset class, and so there's an awareness and a learning curve both to the SEC and to the investors that they work with.
The other thing is, I think the private equity asset class in itself has got a lot of maturing to do in terms of their compliance programs, really to catch up with other asset classes. You know, what we see there, the level of sophistication, as you say, with the 40 Act registries, you know, they are up to speed. But I think that's a place where I think transparency has come a long way. I think if a firm now isn't transparent, you're behind.
So when you think about 40 Act, you think about hedge, and then you think about PE, we typically see a 3-4 year lag between each of them. So the 40 Acts get way ahead. I mean, they're much bigger. They have to put the right processes and controls in. I mean, you had, you know, Madoff and other events within the market a handful of years ago that drove administrators, you know, become basically a mandate or mandatory. But again, then you put shadowing and other rigors. And private equity, you know, before the financial crisis was pretty much a very simple model. I mean, you don't have a lot of transactions. You pretty much had investors that you had to report to, even from an accounting view before the fair value 157 came out. There just wasn't that much. And now it's a whole different ballgame. Dodd-Frank comes along, you've got huge regulatory reporting demands, your investors are getting smarter, more aware, and then within the GP, you know, you've got management reporting that now you have to do because you have all these different stakeholders that you're trying to reconcile. And that comes down to, you know, transparency and data.
Quick question for anyone, and this has to do with again, the value placed on the integrity of a firm's infrastructure. Have you been aware of any sort of investor due diligence efforts where the returns were good for a certain private equity firm, you know, they were shown to be strong investors, but because of some red flag found in the kind of infrastructure of the firm, an investor took a pass?
What we've seen is not exactly as you described it, David, but, you know, a manager is doing well, they're tracking well with a good GP, and all of a sudden they start talking about operating due diligence, and the sponsor realizes they're light in that area. And so all of a sudden we get these calls that say, hey, we need to talk to you now, because we do check a lot of those boxes.